Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's latest artwork, One and Other. The date today is now the 27th of July 2009 at 1:13 a.m. And if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
I'm Mary Yule and my date of birth is the 6th of May 1941, which makes me 68, and I come from Norfolk, from a village just south of Norwich.
Norfolk. What's the name of the village?
The village is Fawnsett St Mary. It's a very small village.
Okay. And how are you today?
I'm very well today, thank you, Kate. Yeah, I'm very excited about the prospect of going up in the cherry pick onto the plinth. And I was at first a bit disappointed to get 2 a.m, but now it's here, I'm quite relieved, actually, because the square is quiet and there's much less distraction. And I think with the spotlights, what you do probably becomes a bit more focused.
Mm, lovely. And if I can take you back to when you first heard about the project, and ask you what it was initially that sparked your interest.
Well, I'm very interested in public sculpture as such, and I'm a freelance lecturer lecturing about contemporary sculpture, particularly sculpture in the landscape. And I'm a long-term admirer of Anthony Gormley's work, and also particularly the way he sort of pushed the boundaries of public sculpture. And this is absolutely fascinating, I think, and actually quite subversive, because what you've got is a traditional city square with three plinths occupied by, you know, great men, no women, great men, and this empty plinth, which is going to be occupied by the ordinary people, who at the time Trafalgar Square was planned were the last people that you would think of on a plinth. So it's quite clever, really. And I was attracted to taking part simply because it's a very exciting project. A little bit of art history, and as an art historian, you know, you like to be where the action is.
And so now that you're here and you're going to take your stand, when you first found out about the project and decided you were going to apply and you wanted to be part of it, you wanted to be here now, how did you decide how to best use your hour?
Well, I didn't think about that when I applied. I applied, as I say, simply because I thought it was a fascinating project, never thinking I would get a place because I never win the lottery or anything. So when the email came, I was delighted and slightly terrified because I had no mental image of what I'd do. And I'm not a great performer. I'm not a very outgoing person. And I thought, oh, my God, what do I do? And then I thought, well, the various descriptions and the stuff we were sent was to do with ourselves, what we thought, how we would like to portray ourselves. Well, everybody's very complicated and have all sorts of interests and personal things going on. I thought, well, I'll just focus on one of the really big interests of my life, which obviously is art, but a particular organisation that I worked for many years and which I volunteer for in Norfolk, now I've retired, and that's the Art Fund, which is an amazing charity. It's a membership charity which helps museums and galleries to buy works of art of all kinds, including two works by Anthony Gormley. The Art Fund gave a grant about 10 or 15 years ago towards the Field for the British Isles, which was super, you know, to be able to be part of that when the Arts Council bought that. So I thought, well, right, I'll focus on the Art Fund because it's really very much part of me and what I believe in. And then I thought, well, how can I do that? And I thought, well, I'm now I've retired from being assistant director of the Art Fund, which is what I did before. And now I'm in Norfolk. I concentrate on the regional work of the Art Fund, helping regional museums. So I thought about my local museum in Norwich, which is called the Castle Museum, and the many wonderful things that the Art Fund has helped there. And I thought, how can I do it? And my husband came up with the idea, actually, of fishing, because I wanted to do something that also reflected our way of life. And it's a very, very rural way of life. We live in a very pretty part of South Norfolk where people go fishing. And I also wanted something on the plinth that was quiet and contemplative and quite removed from Trafalgar Square. So what I'm going to do is fish for images on A4 sheets, images of works of art that the Art Fund has helped in Norwich Castle Museum. And I also had another agenda, not so hidden agenda, because locally, the Art Fund has a little project which is to create a full-scale replica of a rather wonderful altarpiece, which is in Norwich Castle Museum, called the Ashwellthorpe Triptych. And this beautiful Flemish altarpiece was thought to have been commissioned for a church in a village very near where I live in South Norfolk called Ashwellthorpe. And we thought we'd like to have this made and presented to the church from the Art Fund, because the Art Fund was involved in its purchase by the museum. We'd started to raise money. The Art Fund in London gave us £500 to kickstart the appeal. But I was about to apply to more charitable trusts when I thought, I could use this locally to get sponsorship for this project, which is what I'm doing. So on the plinth, it's the Art Fund generally, and locally, talking to people and going around and getting sponsorship. So I've got nearly £600 so far, and I think I'll get more in the future. And I hope what I do is very, very simple, very quiet, very measured, not, you know, show business like what's going on now. But I hope it will, you know, strike a chord with the people.
And what are the works that you're fishing for, and how are you going to be fishing for them?
I'm going to be fishing with not a fishing rod, because that wouldn't show up, with a long wooden pole with a magnet dangling from the end. And I'm fishing for a whole range of works of art, from paintings to silver to glass, paintings contemporary and oldsters, and two or three items of treasure that have been found in the ground and gone into the museum, because Norfolk has the biggest amount of treasure buried, you know, sort of Bronze Age and later treasure. So it's a whole selection, a dozen works. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes each to fish them out, I hope. I have to be very, very slow.
And where are they going to be on the ground below?
No, they're in a box. They're slotted into a box which my husband made for me. And they have metal attached to them, and the magnet will grab them and pull them very slowly out. And so I hope, as they're going slowly through the air, that the public, or webcam, will have the chance to see them.
Mm-hmm. And then, what does it mean to you personally to stand on the fourth plinth?
Well, it's a bit of a challenge. I mean, to me personally, I mean, it's obviously, I wouldn't do it if I didn't want to do it, and because it's to support a cause I believe in. But I must confess, I have been a bit terrified. And at my age, it's quite a, you know, big thing to expose yourself in this way. But I'm somebody who's always reinventing themselves, and I think it's very good to keep yourself young by taking up challenges, by always moving, every so often moving out of your comfort zone and doing something that's a bit scary, because usually you achieve it and it's okay. And I hope tonight will be one of those occasions.
And your outfit today, what's the significance?
It's very, very simple. Lots of people said I should wear fishing gear, I should wear waders, I should look the part. And at night with the floodlights, I mean, what I'm doing is actually quite, as it gathers, slow motion and quite sculptural. I didn't want concentration on my clothes, so I'm wearing pale beige trousers, white t-shirt and a white anorak, just to be just a figure, you know, not a personality.
And can I ask you to say a little bit about your background, your upbringing?
Well, I'm a northern working class girl who went to grammar school and then university and then had a career as a social worker. A very satisfying career, and did all sorts of other things too, and had family. And then in midlife, I decided, various opportunities arose to shift careers and take a break. And I was doing a part-time art history degree at Birkbeck College here in London, and I was it absolutely took over my life. I was so thrilled by this experience. It was wonderful. I was extremely well taught. And I decided to take this career break and do an MA at the Courtauld Institute, and I did that in 20th century British art. And then I was incredibly lucky, you know, one of these, you know, kind of opportunities of a lifetime. A job came up, a simple cataloguing job at the Art Fund, or it was then called the National Art Collections Fund. I also did some part-time teaching and after I graduated and this and that, but this job came up. And very shortly afterwards, the person who was in charge of the grants at the Art Fund and the secretary to their board suddenly had to leave. And they needed somebody in a hurry. And it was just a question of right place, right time. So I got this really wonderful job as director of grants. And then I became assistant director of the organisation. And I was there for nearly 15 years. And I retired 3 years ago, and my husband retired at the same time. He's a sculptor, and he was teaching. He was teaching at Kingston University. So we both retired, as I say, and we'd always wanted to go and live in the country. We loved living in London, but I think we wanted more peace, and he wanted more space to make work, and I wanted a garden. And I also wanted to live in a community. And so... We looked and looked, and we found this rather delightful little farmhouse with just the right size garden in a very nice straggly village in South Norfolk, near some good friends, which helped a lot. And we moved 2 years ago, and we're very happy. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. Better than I could expected, really. And I'm involved with, as I said earlier, with the Art Fund has, each county has a representative, and they organise events for the Art Fund members, which are fundraising events, but also to keep people happy and involved. So I'm on their committee. I got asked to join that quite quickly, and I'm involved with something called the Norfolk Contemporary Art Society, which is also quite a jolly group of people, and I'm involved in things in the village, and it's great. But this is super, because as I say, it's beyond my comfort zone, and it's probably the last thing I hope the last thing like this I'll ever do. Mm. But it's great.
And what kind of sculpture does your partner make?
He makes he works in all sorts of materials, but usually he works in wood. And he creates, at the moment, mostly wall-hung reliefs. He's moving in a different direction now. But it's interesting work, quite difficult work, but again, quite challenging.
And what's his name?
Ainsley Yule.
Does he have a website?
No, he doesn't. I've been nagging him for years to have one. He's better known north of the border. He's quite well known in Scotland. He's a Scottish emigre artist. Mm. There are a lot of them in London.
And he taught at Kingston.
Yes.
He said. What did he teach?
Oh, sculpture. He was head of sculpture. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. You said you're a northern working class girl.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Durham.
Okay.
Yeah, just outside Durham City, a mining village, and I went to school in Durham, which is the most wonderful kind of aesthetic experience. Do you know Durham?
I've never been.
Oh, well, the cathedral and the castle. Well, the cathedral is just the most, I think it's the greatest building in the country, and to walk past that every day on your way to and from school, it was just wonderful, and I'm sure it helped to kind of get me interested in history and also in art, you know, things aesthetic. And I now have a son-in-law from Durham, which is really, really nice. My daughter got married this year, to somebody from Durham, so I have a link again with the city, which is really nice.
You've been back?
Oh, I go back. Well, I used to go back a lot when my mother was alive, and now I have less reason to go back, but I always seize the opportunity because I love it there. great place to be brought up.
What did your parents do?
My parents were in domestic service when I was born. I was born at the beginning of the war, so my father, who had been a chauffeur and my mother had been a cook, my father was then in the army as a driver. He was a sergeant organising drivers. He actually was one of Winston Churchill's drivers during the war. And my mother had to work because there wasn't enough money, so she was working as a cook when I was small. And then, sadly, their marriage broke up. And so she went back to live with her parents, with me, in Durham. And she worked for the next 20 years as a cook, but not in domestic service, running a very big school canteen in a comprehensive school in Durham.
And they must have been very proud.
My mum was very proud, and also has to my aunt who died last year. I was very close to her, and yeah, she always. They thought I was a bit. I mean, you know, all this arty stuff. It was social work they could understand. Ainsley's work was quite challenging to them, but my mum would have thought I was mad to go on the plinth. I think she'd have been embarrassed. In fact, quite a few of my non-arty friends think I'm a bit mad, but. And then I do things like this. But yes, they are proud. And I feel, you know, I feel I'm from a sort of different generation now. I don't think somebody from my background would have had the same opportunities. I really don't. I don't think the education system now gives people... And we were really, really poor. And I just don't... I think I've been stuck there. And I went to a really good grammar school, which doesn't exist anymore. So it's a very different world now, and it's much harder for young people from that kind of background to achieve. Yeah. It's a great shame.
Yeah. Can you say a bit about when you were a social worker and how that experience was?
Well, it was...
Where were you a social worker?
Well, I did... But when I first came to London after university, I did my first degree... before I took up art history, was in social administration from Manchester, and the natural progression was to do social work. And I didn't do any further training. I came to London and I worked for what was then the LCC, the London County Council, as a child care officer. I shudder to think the kind of mistakes. I mean, I was a very immature 22-year-old, let loose on really, really problem families. Anyway, I knew I was too young to do it, and I did other things for a few years. And then I went back around about the age of 30 and did professional training. I went to LSE and did a diploma. And after that, I worked as a psychiatric social worker, first of all with adults at the Maudsley Hospital in Camberwell. And then when I had my daughter, I didn't really want to work in adult psychiatry anymore. It really had its problems. So I worked in child psychiatry and child guidance in the education service in a London education authority. And I did that for nearly 20 years. And then I found art. And it was time to move on. I mean, I really got a lot of job satisfaction from it. But I got... It got to be very repetitive because the same problems came up. And you knew that you couldn't solve them because they were caused by economic and political factors. And I was working in the 80s when everybody thought they had to buy their council flat. And, you know, it was awful the way society changed then, the values changed. And I saw such hardship and people, you know, just, you know, and, you know, the employment problems and so on. And the materialism amongst kids and having to have the best trainers it was very demoralising when you had families you knew you had the wherewithal to help if their circumstances were different. But it's pointless doing family therapy with people who haven't got adequate housing or employment or, you know, access to educational opportunities. So I was a bit burnt out. I'd done my bit, and so it was... It was lovely to work in the art world.
Yeah.
Really lovely.
I can imagine. Mm. And have you got any favourite artists?
Well, I have to say Andy Gormley, don't I? But I'm sincere. I do admire his, the way he pushes the boundaries of the human form. And I do think, coming from the Northeast, I mean, I'm sure everybody you interview says this, but I do think the way that the Angel of the North has, the impact it's had on the local community is just sensational. Absolutely. I mean, it strikes so many chords, the way, you know, it's there, it's monumental, it's guards over Tyneside and the Wear Valley, its roots go down into disused coal mining. Everything's there. It's so immense, so full of resonance. And from initial prejudice against it, the way it's now a local icon, it's just fantastic. And I'm very fond of the Field for the British Isles, which I've seen in several places, and I think it's very intriguing, these 40,000 little pairs of eyes looking at you. That's great fun, and the recent work is very interesting too. So, but other artists, well, I like Piero della Francesca, slightly different. I like, well, many, you know, Renaissance artists, but Piero is obviously a favourite because of the uniqueness of what he was doing and the influence he had on later artists. And I'm very interested in surrealism, early 20th century surrealism. And I, as I said earlier, I lecture for NADFA, an organisation called NADFAS, which has organises local member societies of people who, art lovers, who kind of meet and have lectures.
What does that stand for?
A National Association of Fine and Decorative Art Societies. Bit of a mouthful. And all these member societies are kind of autonomous. They're all set up all over the country, and there are hundreds of them. They're under this umbrella of this organisation who vets the lecturers, and you have to be up to a certain standard and all of that. And I lecture to them about sculpture in the landscape. So I'm particularly interested in, you know, what's going on with that at the moment. And I particularly focus on places like Sculpture Goodwood, you know, the Cass Foundation, and Yorkshire Sculpture Park, which I have a huge admiration for. And I was very involved in a project there just before I retired, where the Art Fund commissioned James Turrell, the American artist, who's a sort of, do you know his work, Sculpture and Light, to make a sky space in a redundant deer shelter, a beautiful brick-built structure in the parkland. And that was actually probably the most exciting project I've ever been involved with. That was really lovely. So I'm a great admirer of James Turrell. I'm quite traditional too. I'm interested in the development of sculpture, British sculpture. So I'm obviously interested in Henry Moore. Not that I think his work was hugely influential, but the position he got for public sculpture by, you know, being it being monumental, becoming very much accepted by the public, when they used to make jokes about the holes and everything, the holes in the sculpture, and then he became the grand old man of British art, which was wonderful. So yeah, he's great. I have also talk a lot in my lectures about Hamilton Finlay, the Scottish artist, poet, writer, and his wonderful garden called Little Sparta near Edinburgh. But I could go on about this. Sorry.
No, it's just good to give you a chance to speak about, you know, you have such a lifetime of knowledge and of lecturing and of working in so many different fields for a significant period of time.
I've been incredibly fortunate. I mean, I think my job, to have fallen into that job at the Art Fund, which was somewhere where you could really make a difference. And we, the then director and I, we're both very interested in contemporary art, and during our time there, the Art Fund support for contemporary art grew, and that was just, there were various milestones along the way, and Anthony Gormley's Field for the British Isles was one of them. The other was a video work by Bill Viola, which was just absolutely amazing, and that went to Tate. It's called the Nantes Triptych. And, you know, it was, each of these was the first. I mean, the Field was the first installation work that the Art Fund had supported. The Viola was the first video, and so it goes on. And it's doing many more exciting things now, but we're talking about early 90s then. So, you know, it's great to be somewhere where you can actually, you know, do something.
And how many staff are the Art Fund?
I'm not sure at the moment. I mean, I'm 3 years out of date now. When I left, I think there were just over 30. And then, as I say, this regional network of volunteers who raise money and fly the flag. But actual staff, I should think it's probably a few more now.
It always amazes me, the small amount of people that do such a lot of work in the outreach. Back to now and
yeah.
Back to stand on the
20 minutes time.
Have you got any hopes or fears or anxieties about it?
My only fear is a practical one, which is that the magnet which is pulling out the images is a very strong one, and the box obviously can only be so big, and the pieces of metal are sticking up, and it's not impossible to get two at once, which would be a shame. But if it happens, it happens. Can't be helped. And if anybody, I mean, I'm not expecting to be heckled, but, you know, if they find it boring, and because it's slow motion, it's nothing much happens, you know. The odd work of art pops up, but, you know, I don't want to be heckled, but I don't suppose at 2 a.m. I don't know. What do you think?
On a Sunday, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I'm a bit scared of heights too, but I think once I'm up there, I've been practicing quite a bit, and I've had an enormous amount of support, not just from my husband, but I have a great friend who's a movement director and choreographer, and she helped me to be completely focused, and that was super. And so I've been practicing, and what I'm doing actually makes me feel very tranquil, because it's slow motion, and because I can keep in my head the very beautiful view from the bottom of my garden where I've been practicing.
Oh,
yeah, it's so beautiful. And so when I'm up there, I'll be thinking about the Tass Valley in Norfolk, and just slowly bringing my rod down and back up again, and I hope.
Lovely. It's a nice image to think of you practicing in your garden.
Well, my husband's has a studio at the bottom of the garden, which he built a platform outside to make work out of doors, and it has a view to die for. It really is lovely, and the weather's been great in this last week, which is why I've topped up my tan, because I've been there with my fishing rod, plastered in sunscreen, practicing, and that was an idea. And I could actually measure out the dimensions of the plinth, mm-hmm. so I knew what I was up to. And my friend came to stay and help me, so I'm reasonably confident. But as I say, the only hitches are technical, or if it poured with rain, and if we have a thunderstorm and there's lightning, you'll come and rescue me, won't you?
If you call us, if you want us to.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm not taking any mic up. I don't need any sound or anything. So if I did need help, how would I?
We can talk about that later, the health and safety briefing you'll have just after this.
Yeah.
One of the final questions that we're asking all of the participants it's two questions really. The first one is, who are you doing this for?
I think I'm doing it, good question. I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for the Art Fund, but I'm pretty passionate about the Art Fund and about getting sponsorship for the reproduction of this wonderful altarpiece. But they are causes that are close to me, and the challenge of, you know, 68-year-old lady climbing onto a plinth at 2 o'clock in the morning. That has to be for me. That has to be, as I said before, you know, doing something that's going to make me think, oh, I'm not so old after all.
No.
You know what I mean?
Really, hats off to you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not the oldest, but I have to be one of them, I'm sure.
I don't know. There's lots more participants to
get. Yes, of course.
Sure,
yeah.
Plenty of play. And the other question is, what's important to you in your life at the moment?
I think my grandchild, who's being born in November. My daughter's having a baby in November, and that's a wonderful feeling. So.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.